Well, my own dear Ned, you have had some writings from spirits who, when mortals, were considered very great men, and now they are highly developed spirits of the celestial spheres. You will soon be fully convinced of the great importance of the work which you have been selected to do, as are the spirits here. It is a great work, and I know that you will enter into it with all your heart and soul, and bend every effort to making it a success. I will not write more now as you are tired. So with all my love, I am your own true and loving, Helen. August 12, 1915. I am here, George Washington, the same who wrote to you a few nights ago. Well, you are my brother, and I am pleased that you call me your brother, for in this world of spirits we have no titles or distinctions because of any fame or position we may have had on earth. I came to tell you that I have watched with interest the many communications that you have 181 received from the various kinds and orders of spirits, and I'm somewhat surprised that you could receive with such accuracy these several messages. I never in earth life supposed that such a thing could be, and since I became a spirit, I have never seen such demonstrations of the powers that exist on the part of spirits to communicate and mortals to receive the messages that come to you. I know that very many times such communications have been made by spirits to mortals, but what I mean as surprising is the great variety of spirits who come to you. They come from the highest celestial spheres as well as from the earth planes, and what they write are not only new to mankind, but many of their declarations of truth are new to many of us spirits. Very seldom do we who are in the celestial spheres have the opportunity to communicate with any of these ancient spirits who live high up in the celestial heavens, and when I see them come and communicate to you so frequently, I wonder at it all. I know, of course, that such spirits do occasionally come into the earth plane, and try to influence both mortals and spirits to do good, but I want to tell you that usually their influence is exerted through intermediary spirits, and not directly by these higher spirits in person as they do through you. The messages that you have received from these spirits who lived on earth thousands of years ago were really written by them as they controlled your brain and hand. I am trying my best to help you in your work and will continue to do so, for the work that you have been selected to do is the most important one that the spirit world is now engaged in, I mean the world that recognizes Jesus as its prince and master. Some spirits come, because they see the way open to communicate to mortals, and they naturally desire to make known the fact that they live and are happy in their spheres. But their happiness is not the real happiness which the true believers and followers of the Master enjoy. So you in your work, when they come to you, may have the opportunity to tell them of this higher experience which the redeemed of the further enjoy. Many spirits are in these lower spheres who would be in the celestial heavens if they only knew the way. We frequently try to show them the way to truth and the higher life, but we find it a difficult task. They think that we are merely spirits like themselves, have our opinions just as they have, the Paget messages 1915, theirs, and that we are mistaken in ours, and hence we can tell them nothing which will show them truths that they do not know, or will give them greater happiness than they have. When they notice the contrast in our appearance, that is that we are so much more beautiful and bright than are they. They simply think that such beauty and brightness is a result of some natural cause, and that we merely differ from them as do one race of men differ from another. They do not seem to think that there is anything in the contrast in our appearance that is caused by any higher spiritual condition than what they have. And this is the great stumbling block in the way of their becoming interested in the conditions which we have, and which should urge them to investigate and learn the true cause for the same. And hence, I say, that you may do them some good in this regard, for you are a third person and should call their attention to the great contrast and tell them the cause as you understand it. What you say would probably make some impression on them, and cause them to make inquiry, and once they commenced this, then would come our opportunity to lead them into the light of the great truth of the divine love of the Father. Well, I have digressed from what I intended to write, but it is just as well, for all the truths of God are important to both mortals and spirits. I am very happy in my home in the celestial spheres of the Father, and I am trying to progress to those higher. So let me assure you of the truths of what you have had written to you by your band and others of God's redeemed spirits. I thank you for this opportunity and will come again sometime. Your own true brother in Christ, George Washington. I am here, Salah Alida. I am a Muslim and I lived in the time of the Crusaders and helped to defend Jerusalem from the Christians. I was an officer of high rank, and a general who was known among my own countrymen for my prowess in battle. I merely want to tell you now that I am a lover of all mankind and know no difference between the Christians and the Muslims, for all are God's children and are the objects of His love, and of my love, for I am a lover of God. I am an inhabitant of the highest Mohammedan heavens and am very happy and satisfied with my spiritual condition, and am still a follower of the Prophet who lives in our heavens 182, and still teaches the truths of the Father, Allah. I have no criticism to make of the Christians and believe that they are also followers of God in the way that their Jesus taught, but I cannot yet believe that His teachings are the only truths of the Father. He and His followers live in a different sphere from our sphere, and those whom I have met seem to be happy and are very beautiful. So while I was once an antagonist of the Christians, and hated them with all the hatred that my religion taught me to hate, yet now I see that hatred is not a thing which God recognizes as being a part of the faith or practices of His true followers. I came merely to tell you this and to inform you that love is the ruling principle of the spiritual world where I live. By love, I mean love for God and for my fellow man. This is the only love that I know of and I find it sufficient for my happiness. I don't know what you mean by the divine love. It cannot be anything more than the love which we have for God. Well, I must stop now, and will say good night. Your friend, Salah Alida. I am here, Selim, the Sultan. I came to tell you that I am also happy in my paradise, which my God has prepared for me. I am no longer a hater of the Christians, but love all men as I believe. I don't mean that I think all men are following the truths of God in their lives, or that they believe in God in a way that will enable them to reach the happiness which He has provided for them. But nevertheless, they are His children, and I love them as one brother should love another. I will come to you at some time and tell you of our paradise and our lives here. I will say good night and God bless you, Selim. I am here, Aaron. I was a prophet, the brother of Moses, and the priest of the tabernacle. I was a very powerful man when on earth and taught the children of Israel the truths of God. I will not write more tonight as you are sleepy and I will come again later. Yes, she is here, Aaron. August 13, 1915. I am here, Latimer. I was the martyr who was burned at the stake because of my belief in God, the Paget Messages 1915, and in salvation by faith and works as taught in the scriptures. My name was Latimer, Hugh. I merely come to tell you that I am now a happy spirit and an inhabitant of the Father's kingdom. I live in the celestial heavens and am a follower of the Master as I was on earth. No, I do not now worship Him as God. That false doctrine I believed when on earth, but now I know that there is only one God to be worshipped, and that Jesus is His most exalted Son. I was surprised, I must confess, when I entered the spirit world and did not enter heaven and see God on His throne and Jesus sitting on His right hand. But it was not long before I understood the truth, for Jesus came to me Himself and explained that He was not God and that I must not worship Him as such. But we who love God as followers of Christ, adore the Master as our great teacher and elder brother. When I first entered the spirit world I found myself in the second sphere among spirits of brightness and love. And after a little while, I entered the third sphere where love is more abundant, and then as my soul became filled with this love and my errors of belief left me, I progressed from sphere to sphere until I arrived where I am now living, and I thank God for His love and mercy. I do not think the fact that I died a martyr to my beliefs had any effect in enabling me to reach a higher sphere than I would otherwise have entered. Not the manner of my death determined my place in the spirit world, but the development of my soul qualities did. If I had a belief in what I thought were truths, but which were not really truths, and that belief, proclaimed and persisted in, had caused my being put to death, you can readily see that the mere fact that I died for the sake of that belief would not have in any way helped my soul development in the real truth, and so the mere fact that I died a martyr for the real truth did not help me in obtaining a place in the spirit world that I would not have obtained had I died a natural death with the same beliefs. The manner of a man's death does not determine anything, but the manner of his living and the development of his soul qualities are what determines where he shall live in the spirit world. Of course, the death of the martyr will sometimes awaken soul qualities or conceptions that might not otherwise have been awakened, and thereby increase the martyr's love for the Father, and in this way such a death may help him in his progress to higher things. But as I say, for soul 183, development fixes the first home of the spirit. I mean the development of the time of passing over. My dear brother, I must stop now, but it will come again sometime and write you. Yours in love, Q. Latimer. I am here, Grover Cleveland. Let me write just a line. I am a man who when on earth was prominent in the affairs of the nation, and who when I became a spirit, realized that my prominence on earth did not help me one particle in my soul's happiness, or in finding a home where goodness and congenial spirits live. I was not a very religious man in the sense of soul development, although I attended church quite regularly and gave the appearance of being a Christian. But, I realize now that something more than mere attendance in church is necessary to the development of the true Christian character or to fit a spirit to inhabit the heavenly places in the spirit world. I was Grover Cleveland, and it is not necessary to tell you what my official position was, as I passed over so recently that all the citizens of my country know. But I do want to say that had I served God in spirit and truth, as I tried to serve my country and its interests, I would not now be in such an unhappy condition as I am. I am in the earth plane, and am in darkness and suffering, and am very unhappy. I am led to believe by my training when a boy that I must stay where I am, but when I think on the matter in a reasoning way, it does not seem to me that a just God would impose eternal punishment upon me for the sins I committed in the short earth life that I lived. I am surrounded by many spirits who are in a similar condition to my own, and who were not especially wicked men when on earth, and yet the recollections of the sins and evil deeds which they committed while on earth seem to be sufficient to keep them in this darkened condition with accompanying suffering. Yes, I find among these darkened spirits a great many of my old political friends as well as my political enemies, and sometimes we talk over the affairs and life of the past, and unanimously conclude that the lives we led were not worth the fame or prominence that we attained to, that it was all vanity, and that we sacrificed our future happiness for the enjoyment of the moment. What, the Paget Messages 1915, a farce it all was, except as we did some good to our country. But it is too late now to wish to undo these things, and what we are now doing and what we may do in the future are the things that interest us now. Some of us say that our condition is not fixed and that in the future we will be relieved of this darkness and suffering, and see the light of a happier life among better surroundings and in the association of better spirits. But none of us know the way to find this relief or to bring ourselves to this light. Of course, most of us know what the Bible teaches on this subject, but most of us believe that it teaches us that our time of probation was while we were on earth, and that now we must remain as we are until the great judgment day. Well, as you say, it does seem strange that we should have such belief, but let me tell you that when the mortal becomes a spirit, he finds that all the importance of his earth life and the self-conceit and self-independence leave him, and he realizes that he is a very insignificant person, and that his self-independence is a myth and that he is the most helpless creature in all the universe. Such is my experience, and having nothing upon which I can stand as a fixed foundation of truth, I naturally go back to my childhood beliefs and they become a part of my existence. I have met some spirits who claim that there is redemption for me and a way to get out of my present condition, but I did not think that they knew any more about it than I do, and hence I never paid much attention to them. But as you remind me, if Jesus went into the hells to preach to the lost souls in prison, he would not have gone there for that purpose unless he could have done them some good by his preaching. I had not thought of this before, and I will think of it now and attempt to find some consolation in it. But, you also say that you know that there is just as much probation for me in my present condition as there was for me when on earth. Now how do you know this? Of course you can speculate, but that will not satisfy me, as I can speculate also. I want facts. Do you know of any spirits who are in my condition and who have been relieved of their darkness and sufferings? If you can show me that you do, then I will commence to hope. I remember hearing of Mr. Riddle while I lived in Washington, and I should like to meet him as a spirit, especially in view of what you say his condition and experience as a spirit were. 184. I see some spirits here who are very beautiful, and they say that they are of your band, and they are working for the redemption of spirits who are in darkness and suffering. One is especially glorious in her beauty and brightness, and she says that she is your grandmother, and that she has heard what I have written and is willing and anxious to show me the way to light and happiness, if I will permit her to do so. And why should I not? What a glorious beauty hers is, and how love seems to flow from her very being. I will accept her invitation and not wait longer to find relief. So I want to thank you for your kindness. I will go with your grandmother, and will come to you again, and if I find the relief that I so much need, I will thank you with all my heart for your kindness in having permitted me to write to you. I will say good night. Your friend, Grover Cleveland. I am here, Saul, the Jewish king. Yes, I was here once before and wrote you. I am now an angel of God and an inhabitant of his celestial heavens. I merely want to say that you are doing a good work in helping the unfortunate spirits, and I tell you that your influence with them seems astonishing. Why this is so I don't know, unless they feel that you are nearer to them by reason of being in the flesh, and more interested in them than are the spirits of a higher sphere who come to them sometimes and try to help them. Well, you must keep up this good work, for it is a good work, as you are helping the Master more than you realize, and your reward, when you come over, will be the gratitude of many of these darkened spirits. I don't work very often in the earth plane, as my work is among the spirits of the higher spiritual heavens, but occasionally I am sent to earth and try to help mortals as well as spirits. But since I have first written you, I feel much interested in your work and in the great powers that are behind you. As you know, the greatest spirit of all is Jesus, and he is more interested in having you do his work than you can conceive of. We are all interested in his cause and feel that whenever we can come to you and encourage you, or in any other way help you, it is our delight to do so. I must not write more now. Call me Brother Saul, for we are brothers in Christ. Well, as you are not of my time when on earth, I cannot say how you would have been treated had you done the same work then. But I, the Paget Messages 1915, suppose that you would have been called a witch, as was that good woman of India in her time. Thank God the people are more enlightened now, and will soon recognize the fact that a good medium is one of the greatest gifts of God to suffering humanity. The time will come when mediums will be looked upon as were the prophets of old by the Jewish people, but without having the ingratitude of the people visited upon them, as it was visited at times on these old prophets. I must stop. So, good night, your brother, Saul. I am here, Litilam. I was a Tatar and lived in Tibet, and died nearly 4,000 years ago. I was a Brahmin, and was a priest of the temple and the chief of the brothers of sacrifice. In my day we sacrificed human beings to appease the wrath of our God, and they the most beautiful and virgins, so that our God would have a sacrifice that had never been defiled by man. This was one of the chief tenets of our religion and was observed with all the strictness and pomp that we, who were fanatical in our beliefs, could give the occasion of the sacrifice. Many a beautiful victim just emerging into the full flower of her youth was made to suffer a cruel death in order, as we supposed, to save the rest of us from the wrath of our God, who was always hungry for blood in the cries of his human victims. This sacrifice was one of the chief ceremonies of our religion, and we believed in the necessity for it just as you Christians believe in the necessity for prayer. And when we, the priests who performed the act which consummated the sacrifice, had performed our duties, we considered that we had obeyed the will of God and that he was pleased with our great act of devotion and worship. No rank or position could save the victim from the sacrifice when once the priests had selected that victim, and the parents or such victim were taught and believed that it was a great honor to have their young daughters chosen as brides for the great god, who was not satisfied unless he could have the most beautiful and virtuous maidens for his brides of death. Since I have become a spirit and learned some of the truths of the spirit world, and that love, not sacrifice, is required by God, all these evil deeds that I and the others performed in the name of our religion have become to me monstrous and shocking, and for many long years after I had learned the truth, the recollections of these deeds 185, caused me to suffer the tortures of the damned. The fact that I at the time thought that I was performing a duty did not assuage my suffering or relieve my darkness. Truth is truth, and every violation of its demands must be atoned for, no matter if the intention at the time of committing these violations is supposed or believed by the actor to be in accordance with the truth. No belief, if it violates truth, will excuse. As on earth, ignorance of law excuses no one for his acts done in violation of truth, so in the spirit world ignorance of the truth will not excuse deeds committed in violation of that truth. Every cause must have its effect, and no god interposes to prevent that effect from following the cause. Now that I have been awakened to the truth, I see with the perceptions of not only a clarified intellect but of the soul, that no act or deed done in the name of religion actually believed in will be excused because of the fact that it was done for the sake of that religion. I am now in the nirvana of the Brahmins, and am very happy. My soul has been purified by the long years of suffering and discipline, and I love God and my fellow man. My sphere is high up in the spirit world, just what its location is I cannot tell you. There are no Christians or other sects in my sphere, although I see them at times and converse with them. I came here because I was traveling in this earth plane and saw a bright light which is unusual in this plane, and it led me to you, and I found that you were receiving communications from spirits, and I listened to some of the messages and concluded that I would write also if I could have the opportunity. And after the dark spirits left you, I commenced this writing. I did not know English when I lived, but you must know that the advanced spirits who have been in the spirit world for many years have not let the years go by without study and investigation. I understand most all the languages of earth, and so do most of the ancient spirits, this for the purpose of being able to understand what the peoples of all lands may think and say. Our work is to help mankind and spirits whenever we can. Well, I will not write more tonight. I hear what you say and cannot understand you, but if there be such a supreme happiness as you speak of, I should like to possess it. I will accept your invitation and attend your writings on Wednesday night. And so with my best wishes and kind regards, I am your friend, Li Tilam. The Paget Messages 1915, August 15, 1915. I am here, Jesus. I was with you tonight at the meeting of the Christians and I saw that you were thinking of several things that I had written and wanted to tell the preacher of my truths. But of course you could not. He took a bit from the Bible which I am credited with having uttered and I did, but I did not mean exactly what he explained it to mean when I said he that liveth and believeth on me shall never die. I meant that the man whose soul was not dead in sin and believed in the truths that I had disclosed, that is that God's divine love was waiting to enter into and fill his soul with its essence and substance, and that man by prayer and faith received that divine love, he should never die. That is, he would become immortal as God is immortal. No mere belief in me as Jesus the man or as the Son of God is sufficient to give a man eternal life, for while he must believe that I was sent by the Father to proclaim the great truth that he had again bestowed on man, the possibility of obtaining this divine love by his prayers and faith, yet unless he believed this and became the possessor of this divine love, he could never claim eternal life. I wish that the preacher would pay more attention to the truths which I taught, that is, those truths which showed men the Father's love waiting to be bestowed and the way to obtain it, than to my personality. I, Jesus as the Son of Man or of God, do not save any man from his sins and make him at one with the Father, but the truths which I taught and which were taught me by the Father are the things that save. I know that the preachers attempt to explain these things by the light of the Bible as they understand that light, but so often it is so obscured that instead of preaching from light they preach from darkness. For these reasons, among others, I am so anxious to declare to you my teachings of these truths, that the world may know what truth is, and what the individual must do in order to attain eternal life or immortality. I know that you are anxious to do this work, and that your soul is trying for the inflowing of this great love and the enjoyment of a close communion with the Father. So keep up your courage and trust in the Father, and the end of your worries will soon cease. I will try with all my power to bring about this opportunity for your receiving my messages, and believe that very soon I will succeed. So believe in my love and my desire for your success. Your brother in Christ, Jesus. I am here, John the Apostle. There are some things in my gospel that do not seem to be very plain, and perhaps are contradictory. But you must remember that many of these writings were not mine or written at my dictation. In the mutations of time, many things have been added to and subtracted from what I wrote, and, as a consequence, the true and the untrue are mixed. It will be a very difficult task for you to make the distinction in simply reading or even studying the Bible, for the tenor of the writings is the same. The only way that you can separate the true from that which is not, is to wait until Jesus gives you his messages. Of course, we can help also in that particular question. That was not the word which he used, because he never taught that it was ordained by God that Judas should betray him. In fact, the death of Jesus was never a part of that which the Father considered as necessary to the performance of his mission. Of course, it was certain that Jesus would die, but the manner of his death was not foreordained, as my gospel written in your Bible declares. Judas was not a bad man as he is depicted to be, and his betrayal, as it is called, of the Master, was not for the purpose of gratifying any avarice that he might be supposed to have, or because of any jealousy or desire to revenge a wrong, but it was because he was impulsive, and had a belief in Jesus' powers and ability to overcome the Jewish leaders in their fight to defeat the objects of Jesus' mission, and he thought he would be doing the Master and his cause a great benefit by having it demonstrated to these Jews that the Master could not be silenced or harmed by any act of theirs. It was really an act that grew out of his love for and belief in the greatness of the Master's powers. I tell you that Jesus never said any such thing. He never even told us that one of us should betray him, and I know because I was there. If Jesus knew that Judas would betray him, he did not tell any of us at that time, and we only knew it for the first time when Judas actually committed the act. I don't believe that Jesus knew it before that time. In fact, he has told me that he was surprised at Judas' betrayal of him. So you must not rely on the Bible statement as to what occurred at that time. 186, The Paget Messages 19:15. Judas was the youngest of the disciples and not so easily controlled in his impulses and acts, as he would have been were he older. Yes, I know, but they are all based upon the same erroneous writings, for you must know that these Gospels, as you have them, and not the originals written by those whose names they bear. Let not these things disturb your belief in the essential truths which the Bible contains. Question: the trouble is that Jesus as the individual is given the prominence which should be given to his teachings. He is displeased very much because of this, and one of the great objects of his writing his truths is to correct the error, and make the truths which he received from the Father, the prominent things. As you progress in your writings, you will see that this is the great object of which he shall write. I will tell you that you are in the way to receive the Father's love in very great abundance. In fact, so much so, that you will realize that you are one with the Father. I see that you at present have some difficulty in your way, but they will soon disappear and leave you free to do this great work. So my advice is to believe in the Master and pray to the Father, and you will soon be a much happier man. When on earth, I was a married man, and the mother of Jesus lived in my family until her death. She, Mary, lives near me. She is a beautiful spirit and filled with the love of the Father. But you must not suppose that because she was the mother of Jesus she has any more exalted position than she otherwise would have had. Family ties do not determine anything in the higher spheres, because the soul development is the criterion. Many spirits are living in higher spheres than Mary. I will not write more now. Your brother in Christ, John. August 17, 1915. I am here, Samuel, the prophet. I am the prophet who came to you before and wrote. Tonight, I want to tell you of the wonderful things which God has prepared for his redeemed children in the celestial spheres, where only those who have received the new birth can enter. In these spheres are homes made of the most beautiful materials that can be imagined, and which are of a real and permanent character, and not subject to decay or deterioration of any kind, and which are made without hands, but by the soul's development, and the love which each spirit 187 possesses.